GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Lionel Moyes. Bracing for Idalia, the storm expected to make landfall in Florida Wednesday morning as a powerful Category 4 hurricane. ABC's Aika Jachi.
Here in Tampa, the city's main hospital erecting an aqua fence around the building to keep the water out. Further north, the barrier island of Cedar Key, boarded up. Almost everyone is gone. Governor Ron DeSantis says the city could see up to 13 feet of storm surge. All this as state and federal emergency crews make preparations. Elite urban search and rescue teams are on the ground, along with power crews from as far away as Maine, anticipating major power outages.
A tornado watch has been issued for 3.7 million people in the western peninsula of the state. Evacuation orders underway for certain counties. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis warning.
If you do choose to stay in one of the evacuation zones, first responders will not be able to get you until after the storm has passed.
This is ABC News. It is called Operation Duck Hunt, and federal agents and prosecutors in Los Angeles say they have dismantled one of the world's largest botnet tools used by criminal cyber gangs to carry out ransomware attacks.
You may have had QuackBot on your computer and you've probably had no idea. Usually arriving by clicking on a link in an email, it would give ransomware and cyber attackers the ability to lock up your computer. The FBI says it has infiltrated and imploded the QuackBot network. The FBI's Don Allway.
We have identified approximately 700,000 computers infected in the past year alone.
Now, with a warrant, the FBI has sent out a command via QuackBot to uninstall the program from victim computers. Victims will never know it was there and never know the FBI uninstalled it. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Fans rejoice. You'll soon be able to see ESPN telecasts of college football games for the Atlantic Coast Conference. This after a new agreement between ESPN and Theater Sports Network. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, and make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happier happy hour, the Tuesday edition. I got my little buddy Dominic right here with me in the WMDX Mad Radio Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison. How you doing, fella?
Awesome, Kurt. Good to be here, man. Love Madison.
We started what I hope is a little debate. And we do have some Brewer tickets to give away to this Friday night. Phillies in town, American Family Field. We're giving away tickets courtesy of our flagship, our Brewers flagship, WISS. 1100 AM, listen on 98.3 FM, Oshkosh Air Support. And up in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, if you're heading up to the cabin this weekend, the Big Q, 98.3 FM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. That is the Big 98.3. And then in southwestern Wisconsin, we've got WRCE. That's News from the Center, Richland Center, Wisconsin. We're your Brewers affiliate there as well. But 4 tickets to give away, 2 pair, going to do it pairsies. If you want to win 2 pair of Friday night tickets, again, Philly, 7:10, first pitch, you got to have a good take. And my definition of a good take is quite arbitrary.
So however we decide a good take is.
Whatever we think it is.
That's up to us.
Let me ask you, though, Dom, the story that has motivated the debate du jour, if you will, is this Fox News digital piece. The governor, Democratic governor of the state of Colorado, has called the Gadsden flag a proud symbol of revolution in response to a viral video. Now, the viral video is of a 12-year-old Colorado boy being removed from his classroom for having the Gadsden flag on his backpack. Now, first and foremost, got to ask you, you ever been called to the principal's office? Yeah. Ever been pulled out of class?
Sure. But, you know, 12 years old in a backpack, you could have just removed the backpack. I have. But as a kid, usually for, you know, naughty behavior on the playground, not for having a Gadsden flag or a Confederate flag.
Identified for bad conduct, in other words. Not so much wardrobe.
No, not so much.
That's more
not
of an so much. Adult pursuit, the bad wardrobe choices.
It's my lot in life.
I have been removed from class many times. But not so much for, you know, an outrageous shirt or anything. I never wore anything too crazy. You know, more on the radio, I have worn some outrageous political fashion t-shirts and such. Worn a few to Trump events, mostly dump Trump. But I never got kicked out of anything, Dom.
No, a little more background here, folks. Let's get your opinion as well. 844-967-2789. Back to the Post piece, a little more background so we get the full context here. Talking about the Gadsden flag. Republican lawmakers from the Tea Party movement claimed the flag in their fight against federal overreach. Far-right extremists carried it in Charlottesville and at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Today, Don't Tread on Me license plates are available from Virginia to Florida to Arizona, with Iowa this year proposing one of its own. Little is said, though, about the Gadsden's flag ties to the Confederates, who embraced it in their own fight against federal authority. From 1860 to 1862, the battle over Gadsden symbols resembled modern meme wars. Ultimately, the Union sacrificed Gadsden's rattler because Confederates had irreparably tainted it. Gadsden, a Continental Congressman and Brigadier General from South Carolina, designed his defiant yellow flag in 1775 as a nod to Ben Franklin's Join or Die political cartoon, which presented the American colonies as a segmented rattlesnake. Gadsden became permanently associated with the rattlesnake Don't Tread on Me combination when he gave his new flag to Esek Hopkins, the first commander-in-chief of the American Navy. He presented a copy to South Carolina State Legislature too, and the Continental Marines flew Gadsden's flag during the Revolutionary War. The eagle largely had replaced the rattlesnake as the United States national symbol by the 1780s.
I never knew we were a rattlesnake nation.
But Gadsden's flag took on new life on November 8th of 1860, when the Young Men's Southern Rights Club in Savannah spread a banner across the Nathaniel Greene Monument in Johnson Square. On top of it read, "Our motto, Southern Rights and the Equality of the States." Beneath, a rattlesnake twisted above the words, "Don't Tread on Me." Thousands gathered around the banner to cheer pro-secession speeches, and in subsequent weeks, they marched through Savannah with their own homemade variations. As the news from Savannah spread, so did the flag's usage. In December of 1860, the Mason Daily Telegraph reported that a rattlesnake flag with the Don't Tread on Me had been raised by Reverend J.R. Willis at a pro-secession rally in Indian Springs, Georgia. That same month, Raleigh's Weekly State Journal reported a Southern Rights Club in Fayetteville, North Carolina, held a meeting beneath the beautiful representation of a pine tree and a rattlesnake with a coil, the motto, "Don't Tread on Me," et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it became, although it started out not necessarily, it started as a
revolutionary war symbol.
It became a symbol of secession.
Dominic, after being Fox News Digital, after being urged to respond to the news that a young student at a Colorado charter school was kicked out of class for having a Gadsden flag patch on his backpack, Governor Jared Polis, Democrat from Colorado, took to social media to defend the flag as a proud symbol of the American Revolution, which is historically accurate, right, Dom?
Yes.
Conservatives on social media replied by urging the governor to do something about the school disciplining the student for displaying the famous Don't Tread on Me flag. Now, Polis made his comments on the former Twitter Tuesday after the video went viral depicting a 12-year-old student of the Vanguard School in Colorado Springs in a meeting with the school administrator and his mother after he was removed from class for having a flag on his backpack. For being a smart alecky kid too, I bet, but I read on. During the meeting, which appeared to be filmed by the student's mother, the school staff member informed them both that young Jaden would not be allowed to return to class because the patch may be problematic for other students because of its origins with slavery. Now, Jaden's mother debated with the school staff member throughout the meeting, arguing that the flag originated with the American Revolution as the symbol of the 13 colonies' fight against the British crown and did not promote slavery. Well, both could be true, Dom. Still, the school staffer insisted the bag can't go back if it's got a patch on it because we can't have that in and around other kids. Now, the faculty member told Jaden's mother that the Vanguard School's Director of Operations, Jeff Yoakum, could help her better understand the policy. Email correspondence between the mom and Yoakum revealed the director's stance that the Gadsden flag had been associated with racist groups. That's also true, right, Dom?
Yes.
And has been interpreted by some as a racially charged symbol, thus justifying the policy. And once news of the video and this subsequent correspondence made it to social media, it generated backlash from conservatives who demanded Governor Polis speak about it. And the influencer, the redheaded libertarian, and Connor Boyack, who I've never heard of, the author and activist who broke Jaden's story, asked Polis to weigh in. The governor replied. Polis posted, obviously the Gadsden flag is a proud symbol of the American Revolution, an iconic warning to Britain or any government not to violate the liberties of Americans. It appears on popular American medallions and challenge coins through today, and Ben Franklin also adopted it to symbolize the union of the 13 colonies. The governor added, it's a great teaching moment for a history lesson. Well, they don't believe in the history part of it, Dom. The selective history, just the good history.
Well, right. Isn't that, all we want is the good history, man. But who and when do we make culturally the change? The swastika was an ancient Hindu symbol. You know what I mean? I'm not sure they're going to be seeing that flying around a whole lot these days. Things get overtaken by subsequent history. So, yes.
We have taken the devil and turned him into a sympathetic and good character.
844-967-2789. Let's get to it. Joe from Madison, you are up next. Thank you for calling, Joe. What do you got for us
today?
Hey,
Joe.
2 points. Just referring to the past hour and the present hour. The first, in reference to the past hour and this pathetic display by the Republicans up at the state legislature, I would say we're really in a sad place when fractions are beyond them, when two-thirds is beyond our understanding of our dear legislators. That's two-thirds equals 4-6. You know, four,
but they have
four
alternative facts and math, apparently, as well, Joe, because whatever suits their need. I mean, if they want it to be so, then they're going to force it to be so. They're having a committee hearing today. They're forcing the renomination of Megan Wolf, despite the fact she didn't get the prerequisite two-thirds to forward her nomination. Man, they're just making it up as they go along here. And I feel pretty confident, Joe.
You know, you
can't or have it before today. It's a new precedent. Joe, here's what's coming next. And I mean this, I believe this from the bottom of my heart. They're going to impeach Protasiewicz, not because they think they can effectively remove her from the court, although that might be a conclusion that a stalemate reaches, but effectively the act of impeachment of a Supreme Court justice in the state of Wisconsin sidelines that justice. They can park Protasiewicz through the process of impeachment. And if you don't think Robin Voss is going to do that, Joe, I got a little.
Oh, I think he will. I think he will. And I just when I say home act, because it's so pathetic and it just is such a black mark against a state that already has so much against it in terms of having the worst gerrymandered state in the country. It's just atrocious, and it absolutely has to be addressed. When Iowa is doing better on this stuff than we are in really bad shape. I agree with you that Voss will probably do it. I think there's a direct line from the Klan group at the Michael Best and Freedom way back decades ago in putting the gerrymandering together off-site. You know, no public input, under secret. And this is where we are today, is that little general is pushing this forward. So I agree. I agree this may happen, but we got to stand tight and we got to stay strong. And I just think that this gets us back to the rebel. You know, when you were, I just want to make the point that when a person is looking for a rebel, probably one of the best you could look at is Tom Petty. And he had that wonderful song, I Was Born a Rebel. Somebody finally, he used to put the Confederate flag out on his stage, and somebody finally talked to him and said, buddy, that doesn't look so good. And
got to cut you short, Joe. More Devil's Advocates.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 5288. And tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 47. North winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 69. Lows around 48 tomorrow night. Clear skies. Turning warmer Thursday and Friday with highs from the mid-70s to the low 80s. Once again, a low of 47 overnight. Highs reach 69 tomorrow. Lows level off around 48 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Think you know politics? Again, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Taking your calls, 844-967-2789. Joe, that one's for you. Tom Petty, Rebels. And he did, for a while, fly that flag. I found this. I want to throw this out there as well. We're talking about the Confederate flag, the Gadsden flag. A 12-year-old gets pulled out of class for having a Gadsden flag on his backpack. CNN reporting.
In Colorado. Charter
in Colorado.
School.
Charter school. You think they'd be down with that? Just saying,
depends,
man.
On the charter.
A little bit from CNN back in 2017 about Tom Petty flying this flag during his concerts. Flag controversy began in 85 when Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers released a record called Southern Accents. First single and the most enduring track was Don't Come Around Here No More. So good. But other songs like Rebels, you just heard that, were written as what was intentionally intended to be a concept album about his Southern roots. But the concept part slipped away, probably 70% or so into the album, Tom Petty said in a Rolling Stone interview. I just let it go. But the Confederate flag became part of the marketing for the tour. I wish I had given it more thought. It was a downright stupid thing to do. The song refers to a character, as Petty later explained, being born in Dixie, and includes the refrain, "With one foot in the grave and one foot on the pedal, I was born a rebel." Over time, though, some fans began to associate Petty and the Confederate album emblem. Here's how Petty recalled the moment when he began to push back and how his fans responded. Quote, "I used it on stage during that song, Rebels, and I regretted it pretty quickly. When we toured 2 years later, I noticed people in the audience wearing Confederate flag bandanas and things like that. One night, someone threw one on stage. I stopped everything and gave a speech about it. I said, look, this was to illustrate a character. This is not who we are. Having gone through this, I would prefer if no one would ever bring a Confederate flag to our shows again, because this isn't who we are." It got mixed reaction. There were some boos and some cheers, but honestly, it's a little amazing to me because I never saw one again after that speech in that one town. So, yeah, it's okay to recognize and corrective action. I think Tom Petty did the right thing.
You've learned something about the Gadsden flag even during the course of today and research for this conversation, right, Tom?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I knew the Navy flew
the revolutionary,
and the Marines, right, all that. I was not up to speed on it being co-opted, much like the Germans and Nazi Germany took over the swastika from, you know, ancient Hindu.
Well, I had noticed during the Tea Party uprising there was a co-opting going on. Maybe I'm just a little more observant. 844-967-2789. Jack from the Mac, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, the first thing, guys, I want to say is I apologize for my calling yesterday. Yeah, I'm kind of on a tirade against Johnson, and I just sort of got lost in it. But I do have something specific about today's show, which is the Republicans. Let's see now. Impeach Protasiewicz. Impeach Biden. Impeach, take Megan Wolf off of the election administration. These guys are obviously running in incredible fear. Voss knows that it's going to be a huge backlash once the districts are not gerrymandered anymore, and there are fair elections in almost all of them. And the same thing is true at the federal level. These guys realize they're doing anything they possibly can to keep or steal that power, and they just keep on doing, you know, whatever they want. They don't do anything else in terms of helping the American public. I call the party not the Republicans, the Republicans, because they can't do anything except try to damage the country and try to hold on to power. So there's my tirade for today.
All right, Jack.
Not bad, Jack.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, you ever, well, let's keep Jack.
Yeah, all right, yeah, yeah.
I guess we didn't ask Jack. You ever go to a Brewer game?
Yeah.
You ever go to a Brewer game on the Devil's Advocates? You want to go, Jack? I got some tickets for Friday.
Oh, man, I'm out of town this weekend, as a lot of people are. I do appreciate that, and, you know, I got one of your T-shirts a while back, you know, which I proudly wear while I'm working out, and I occasionally work out in New Berlin, which is really kind of interesting to see the stairs I get.
Why don't they like your workout wardrobe choices in New Berlin?
It's not exactly the liberal bastion of the state. Let's put it like that.
Well, not yet.
We're working on it, Jack. You keep wearing that swag, man. We appreciate it. 844-967-2789. But Jack, I gotta tell you, man, the Republicans, they do things for us. Well, for some people, as Jesse Appoyan and Bill Glauber point out today at the General Sentinel, Assembly Republicans introduce a $2.9 billion tax cut aimed at a broad swath of filers and retirees.
Mostly rich people.
Mostly.
Broad swath of rich, well-to-do people that, you know, can barely get by without another massive tax cut.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told reporters at a news conference in Oak Creek that Republicans heard Governor Evers' message on his veto of the last tax cut package, and they wanted to make sure that we offered a tax cut he would sign. So,
Willie.
There you go. It's not just, you know, impeaching, impeding, overturning, ignoring. You know, it's not just that. It's also tax cuts.
For rich people, primarily.
I mean, when you have gun problems, tax cuts. Global climate change, tax cuts. You know, your foot hurts, tax cuts. They have a solution. That's what they're there for. Cameron from Nina, 1 minute. Welcome. What do you got for us, Cameron?
Hey, Cameron.
Hey, right. So when I think of that kid with the backpack, I'm telling you right now, there's no way that kid cares up or down which way this goes. I'm sure that they were annoyed that they were kicked out of class, but I'm sure that that kid was annoying in a lot of other ways too. When I was in school, I lost, I had an English teacher pull me out of class, and he sat me down and he said, "Do you know what a double entendre is?" And I was like, "No." And I was in his AP English class, so kind of shame on me for not knowing. But he told me I needed to go reverse my shirt. It was a Hollister surfboard shirt that said "Ride the Tip" across one of the surfboards. He told that to me as a seventh grader.
Cameron, you got to turn the shirt inside out. That ain't appropriate. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. Bracing for Idalia. The storm expected to make landfall in Florida Wednesday morning as a powerful Category 4 hurricane. ABC's Ike Ajachi.
Here in Tampa, the city's main hospital erecting an aqua fence around the building to keep the water out. Further north, the barrier island of Cedar Key, boarded up, almost everyone is gone. Governor Ron DeSantis says the city could see up to 13 feet of storm surge. All this as state and federal emergency crews make preparations. Elite urban search and rescue teams are on the ground, along with power crews from as far away as Maine, anticipating major power outages.
A tornado watch has been issued for 3.7 million people in the western peninsula of the state. Evacuation orders underway for certain counties. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis warning.
If you do choose to stay in one of the evacuation zones, first responders will not be able to get you until after the storm has passed.
This is ABC News.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make the little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon. Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
About the house run blue.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, the Happier Happy Hour. Rolling through it. And I got to tell you, I got a hell of a deal for the people listing in the Milwaukee area. I can get you hammer drunk for free on former Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Did you see this offer? Jack's American Pub on Milwaukee's Lower East Side has posted a heck of an offer for the upcoming NFL season. It does require you to cheer against former Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Check. I'm down for that, Dom. The Jets lose, you win promotion, Tom, is pretty simple. If the Jets lose with Aaron Rodgers under center, the bar picks up your entire bar tab. Seriously. The only caveats. You have to be at the bar and open the tab 15 minutes before the Jets game. Stay at the bar to watch the whole game. I assume restroom breaks are acceptable, Tom, because if I'm drinking during the whole Jets
3 hours, right?
I'm going to need to hit the restroom. Aaron Rodgers must be starting for the promotion to kick in, and the Jets must lose for patrons to get their tab paid off. I'd say there's, you know, we're probably looking at like a 9-8, 8-9 Jets season.
What do you think? I mean, you're the sports guy here, Crudy. Who's going to have a better season, the New York Jets or the Green Bay Packers?
Ooh, that could be close. Are we co-managers of a fantasy football team?
We are. Did you get your email? Yes, we are. You should.
I don't think I got the email.
All right. Rocker sent it over. You gotta step up, man. We got a draft this weekend. We'll put it on auto draft.
Auto draft.
Yeah.
Well, auto draft. You know who I don't want? Aaron Rodgers.
No?
If this man wants to make it to the Hall of Fame as a former Packer and retire as a Packer, he's going to have to lose a lot of games and pay a lot of bar tabs. Don, the deal doesn't include food. This one's going to screw you. Excludes top shelf liquor.
Oh, what?
And doesn't work on Sundays when the Packers and Jets play at the same time. The bar, understandably, is going to show the Packer game on those dates. But that's only 4 conflicting dates. It's got 13 opportunities, presuming Aaron Rodgers is healthy. And he loses to get your bar tab paid. That's a hell of a deal, Dom. I like that. This includes the season opener, September 11th, when the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, face the Bills on Monday Night Football. Ooh, Monday night, Dom.
A Monday night rager on Brady Street.
The Bills have the 3rd best odds to win the Super Bowl. So if you want to pace yourself, you might want to wait a week. In fact, 5 of the games, 2 against Buffalo, 2 against, another against Dallas, KC, and Philadelphia, features meetings against teams with better Super Bowl odds than the Jets. These are your contenders, folks. I think they're going to expect the Jets to get off to a bad start this year. The great news is Packers play the Bears, so I feel pretty confident 1-0. Could get ugly after that, but 1-0, Dom. Now, Milwaukee bargoers and the Packers organization, including President Mark Murphy, are now pulling for the same thing, that Rodgers plays the majority of the games for the Jets this season. As part of the compensation package, the Packers will get the Jets' first-round pick in 2024 if Rodgers plays 65% of the team's snaps this year. Otherwise, they get a second rounder. So we've all got skin in this game, Don. Right. So anyways, lots of games.
No top shelf liquor. I mean, you can only drink so many PBRs, man.
What would you'd be drinking, like Cuervo or something? Right. When you don't normally, like, what above the top shelf? What's up there?
Oh, maybe some.
Depends on if Crudy's paying the bar.
Might have
or
to
not.
Be some Captain Morgan or something. Get, I mean, that's
get the tall ladder. That's what Dom says. Dom, why do I bring up this? Drinking engagement. Well,
because it's a bar on Brady Street in Wisconsin.
That's and we could we go do. There. Yes. That could be part of it, Dom. That might be a small part of it. But here's the pivoting, the political story that I paired together, you know, like a good steak and a red wine. Trump has no defense if he knew Giuliani was drunk giving legal advice. Now, isn't this what we've heard reported? The genesis of the rigged election was a drunken Rudy Giuliani.
Just go on and say you want, man. Just go on and say you want. I mean, just say you want it, man. You know, it's like acting. You know, if you act it enough, you become the part, Curdy.
Dominic, one of the findings detailed in the House Select Committee on the 2020 election and the J6 was that Donald Trump was getting a lot of legal advice that his ideas wouldn't work. Further, he's being told that the outlandish plots from the likes of Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman wouldn't work, but it was as if Trump allies were searching for lawyers who were willing to support legally unsound ideas to overthrow the election, according to reports. Now, Rolling Stone's reporting today that among the threats of the investigation, special counselor Jack Smith's team is pulling is to the degree to which Rudy Giuliani was drunk while giving legal advice to Trump. Further, it explained, did Donald Trump and his allies know that Rudy Giuliani right, was drunk when he took office? The special counsel's team has also asked these witnesses if Trump had ever gossiped with them about Giuliani's drinking habits, and if Trump had ever claimed Giuliani's drinking impacted his decision-making or judgment. Now, it's my understanding from prior reporting, Dom, Rudy was passed over for, like, attorney general because Trump thought he was a drunk, and Trump had lost a brother to alcoholism. Never quite liked the drunks, apparently. Thought they were weak human beings. You know, good enough for free legal advice, but not quite good enough for attorney general.
Can't beat the price.
Let's not forget who he started with. Jeff Sessions. What a fine AG choice that made.
Oh, man.
Dominic, another question, according to the report, is whether Trump was warned about Giuliani's drinking habits, including after election night 2020. They asked if any of the witnesses in the Oval Office or on the conference calls were aware of whether Giuliani was drunk. Yeah, probably. Well, giving legal advice and how much. Like, how drunk or how much
legal advice? Right.
Here's a quote, Tom. Federal prosecutors often aren't interested in investigating mere alcohol consumption. But according to lawyers in the room with the special counsel investigators, Smith and his team are interested in this subject because it could help demonstrate that Trump was implementing the counsel of somebody he knew to be under the influence and perhaps not thinking clearly, the report continued. I mean, like, Giuliani's not exactly known for his clear-headedness anymore. If that were the case, it could add to federal prosecutors' argument that Trump behaved with willful recklessness in his attempts to nullify the 2020 election by relying heavily on a lawyer he believed was inebriated.
Crudy,
hammer drunk, Dom.
Author Michael Wolff confirmed in his book Landslide, The Final Days of the Trump Presidency, that the former America's mayor is drinking all the time. Quote, he is, you know, if not constantly drunk, certainly buzzed throughout this period. Actually, probably for throughout most of the Trump administration.
If I ever write a book, Dom, I'm going to point out that you are too.
Yeah. It had to get through it somehow. Beyond that, he is a desperate figure. Desperate. He will do anything to be at the center of attention. If that involves saying anything that Trump wants to hear, he will certainly do that, as we've seen. And again, everyone in the White House, in the campaign, in Trump's family knows it's incredibly destructive to the Trump White House. Many of them actually blame Rudy even more than they blame the president, although everyone blames the president for the last 4 years. Former federal prosecutor Glenn Kirshner questioned whether Trump was intentionally taking bad advice as cover to do what he wanted to do. A quote, is he taking the advice from somebody who everyone in the room knows is drunk? He asked. If you're taking advice from a thoughtful, sober, learned counsel that, you know, might give you some protection on the advice of counsel front. But if you're taking advice from, you know, the town drunk sitting in the public square yelling at the clouds, you're not going to have much of advice of counsel defense. Speaking out about the allegations against him, Trump has claimed he was just doing what his lawyers told him. These are not salacious issues, I think, more fundamentally on the advice of counsel defense. I also think it is really hard for Donald Trump to pursue that when his counsel are his co-defendants in the January 6th trial, Kirshner said. They're his unindicted co-defendants, and there's no advice of co-defendant offense. So that also complicated the advice of counsel defense that Donald Trump might otherwise have. Here's a quote. Giuliani wrote this. I am disgusted and outraged at the outright lie by Jason Miller and Bill Sepian. Giuliani wrote on social media during the January 6th hearings in Congress. He said if he was acting erratically, it was because he was angry that they weren't addressing fake claims of voter fraud. I was upset that they were not prepared for the massive cheating as well as other lawyers around the president. I refused all alcohol that evening.
No. Come on, Rudy.
I refused, all caps, all alcohol that evening. My favorite drink, Diet Pepsi. Giuliani added, is the false testimony from Miller and Stepien because I yelled at them? Question mark. Are they being paid to lie? Question mark. Oh, Rudy. But, you know, the good news is if you go down to Jack's American Pub on Brady Street in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you can watch the Jets lose and get your non-top shelf booze paid for.
And Rudy's Pepsi.
And Rudy's Pepsi. He loves the Pepsi.
What do you think he puts in that Pepsi?
Rum. What do you put in Pepsi?
Rum. Doesn't everybody?
I mean, Jack. No, Jack. Whiskey. People like their whiskey and sodas.
Some like bourbon.
I mix it. Just drink that straight, man. 844-967-2789.
Others give up the sport before they're publicly humiliated and indicted multiple times and disbarred. You know, some would call that hitting rock bottom. The divorce, the allegations of paying off the mistress turned employee.
And the sexual allegations as well against the Rudy
used
employee.
To be a federal prosecutor and America's mayor.
Used to be.
If this ain't rock bottom, Rudy, I mean the parking lot, the Four Seasons, the dripping Grecian formula, someone should have said lay off the booze at that point. But no, Rudy.
He was in the movie with the young lady,
the Borat girl,
and lays down and pulls his pants. What was he doing?
Adjusting his microphone.
Is that what it was? Adjusting the microphone.
That's what the kids call it.
Yeah.
Dropping the mic.
I mean, perhaps rock bottom. No, it's not rock bottom yet, because when he gets thrown to the clink, then it'll be rock bottom.
That's like a 12-step program of its own, isn't it, Don? Federal prison. 844-967-2789. If you've ever cleaned up in federal prison, call us now.
We do have some updates, Crudy. Let's see here. Fonny Willis, a couple of things. A Georgia judge orders the Trump implicating special grand jury report to be publicly released. We like that idea.
That's going to drive Trump to drink.
Also, on this same news in Georgia, Fonny Willis moves to fast track all 19 defendants in Georgia election conspiracy case. On Tuesday, she asked the judge presiding over the case against Donald Trump and the former president's 18 co-defendants to fast-track the case, according to court filings obtained by Politico's Kyle Cheney. Willis's filing would allow defendants to file motions seeking to sever their case from the broader conspiracy case, Cheney reports. Trump, along with his co-defendants earlier this month, were indicted. We know that. The case is being tried under the state's racketeering law. Justin! DA Fonny Willis is asking the judge in the Trump racketeering case to fast-track all 19 of the defendants, not just Ken Cheesebro, while permitting others to file motions to sever from the larger case. According to Willis's filing, quote, "The state of Georgia further respectfully requests that the court set a deadline for any defendant wishing to file a motion to sever, allow the parties, including the state of Georgia, sufficient time to brief the severance issue and hold a hearing on any filed motion to sever so that the court may consider factors set forth as required by Georgia law." Let's line them up and knock them down. Fonny Willis, fast track, all 19.
Dominic, questions from the texting audience. They can text in on the Shiny Civic Media app. Here's a question. Will the Devils be covering First Lady Jill Biden's Madison events with Tammy Baldwin this Thursday? No, we will not. Not as far as I know. Are you credentialed? I'm not credentialed.
I am not, no.
Will it be at a bar?
Probably
will they
not.
Pay our tab? Will Aaron Rodgers pick up my tab if I cover a Jill Biden event in Madison? Would I be fully immunized if he did? Yeah. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Got a Brewers game going off against the Cubbies at 7:10 a little bit later tonight. Not yet. More of us. More of you on the phones, 844-967-2789.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the Kitty Rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kitty rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 47. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 69. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. 48 tomorrow night. Clear skies and quiet. Turning warmer Thursday and Friday with highs from the mid-70s to the low 80s. Another look at the short range. Lows level off around 47 overnight. We should top out around 69 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 51.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the glass.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. You can join us 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Last call for the alcohol, Dom. Always the saddest moment of the evening, especially if you can't get the bartender's attention. You know, like he's trying to cut you off. You know how that feels.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Kurt. It never happened to me.
Dom, one of the funnier, more ironic statements ever made in the history of mankind.
Yes.
Made today by Donald Trump. I'd like to share it with you. Former President Donald Trump accused Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy of being too controversial after he suggested the U.S. government was involved in the attacks of September 11th, 2001. We were involved. Trump made the remarks during an interview with conservative host Glenn Beck on Tuesday. I think he's great, Trump said when asked if he would consider Ramaswamy as vice president. Ramaswamy's the I'm going to pardon Trump on the first day guy. Dom, here's more from the former. Look, anybody that said I'm the best president in a generation, he continued. And he said it a couple of times and he said it in 100 years. So I have to like a guy like that. He likes me. So I like him. That's like the theme of the Jane Says song from, you know, the song. I want them if they want me.
Trump.
Carrie Lake and MTG both desperately want that job. But anyways, Trump also had a warning for the Republican newcomer. Dom, as mentioned, this is perhaps the most ironic statement ever made in the history of stupidity and Donald Trump kind. He's starting to get out there a little bit, the former president observed. He's getting a little bit controversial. I've got to tell him to be a little bit careful because some things you have to just hold in a little bit.
Yeah. Really, Trump's been holding back. What are the things Trump's possibly held back?
Filter Trump?
Are we seeing the filter Trump? I mean, obviously we are. If this is his comment about Vivek Ramaswamy.
Dominic, an audio recording recently resurfaced of Ramaswamy repeating conspiracy theories about 9/11. I think it's legitimate to say how many federal agents were on the planes that hit the Twin Towers, he told The Atlantic. Maybe the answer is zero. It is probably zero for all I know, right? I have no reason to think it's anything other than zero.
I'm just asking questions.
Isn't that what they do on the Foxy News? Well, if Trump likes him, then I particularly don't like him.
Donald Trump is the greatest president of the 21st century.
Oh, he's going to love you for
saying. And climate change is a hoax.
You could be the vice president. And it was rigged. He won the 2020. He's not guilty.
And look
he's
at
the
Wisconsin.
Handsomest man.
What they found out in Wisconsin. I mean, it's amazing.
And he's definitely 6'3", 215 pounds.
Absolutely. Professional baseball player.
Not an ounce over. And have you seen the man golf? Club champion every year.
Oh, come on. Have you seen him on the side of the bus? I mean, he looks like Rambo or Rocky sometimes. I mean, he's ripped.
If only he could be a totalitarian like Kim Jong-un and we could all worship him and have a picture of Trump in every room of our house, like Trump does.
Yeah, you know, we kind of do now. I mean, how many times did that mugshot go around the world? Everyone's got a picture of Trump in their house. Crudy, a little more serious here. I want to throw this one out there as well.
Let's end on a serious reporting. Note,
I know, but this is some crazy stuff.
Something for the Raw story to serious it up a bit.
Far-right Georgia lawmaker Tuesday suggested that although he'd prefer to resolve differences with his political adversaries peacefully, he won't roll out violence against those behind what he described as Nazism. Georgia State Senator Colton Moore.
Handsome fella.
During an appearance on former Trump advisor Steve Bannon's The War Room, suggested that defunding Fulton County DA Fani Willis is among his top priorities. A quote, I was talking to one of my fellow senators today. I said, when was the last time you spent $1 million on anything? Moore said in an apparent reference to State Senator Sean Still, who was among 18 co-defendants along with former President Trump, who were indicted earlier this month on allegations they tried to overturn Georgia's 2020 presidential election.
Well, didn't everybody?
I was like, we got a fellow senator going to spend $1 million in defense of himself. But it's just like Nazi Germany. I mean, they want to call us Nazis, and their actions are Nazism. I mean, first they go after your enemies, Moore added in an apparent reference to the poem, First They Came. And you don't say anything because they're your enemies. And that's exactly where the governor is right now. He looks at Donald Trump as the enemy. So he's like, I'm not going to say anything, right? Then they come after your friends. I got a friend who's being indicted. Many friends. Guess what? I'm seeing what they're doing to my enemies. And I'm trying to speak out for my friends. But my other senators are so reluctant. They're like, oh, I mean, don't want to be charged for obstruction of justice if I move out there or say anything. The folks up in your district that you represent, what? What are they telling you? Bannon asked. Oh, I mean, they couldn't be more excited about the fight that I pushed out. I mean, they just sweat every day for those tax dollars. They see what's going on. They're scared for themselves. I mean, my goodness, how many people in my district questioned that election? I mean, and now we've got 19 people who are facing the rest of their life in prison because they spoke out against an election? Moore said during a recent conversation with his fellow state senator, they discussed taking action right now because if we don't, our constituencies are going to be fighting in the streets. Do you want a civil war? I don't want a civil war. I don't want to have to draw my rifle. I want to make this problem go away with my legislative means of doing so. And the first step is to getting that done is to defund Fani Willis of any Georgia tax dollars. And hopefully Representative Jordan and Representative Biggs will follow suit in Congress and strip her of federal dollars too, because she's not upholding her oath to the Constitution.
To the cult.
Don't wanna have to go get my rifle, Crudy. I mean, we can just defund.
Annie, get your gun.
So, yeah, that's it. So, you know, their fascism is our fascism, right? See, so they're.
But I never once threatened to go get my gun.
Well, you don't have to threaten. He just doesn't want to. See, he just doesn't want to do that.
I don't want to have to beat your ass, but I will.
Right. So, I mean, up is down, right is left, left is right. You know, I mean, this is what the Republicans are I'm going to say down to. I got to tell you, man, this has always been there. Let's just say it. These folks, this guy Colton Moore, I mean, this is the first time he's had these thoughts. I mean, if a guy can talk like that and so easily just go to hell, I guess, I don't want a civil war. I mean, all this civil war talking. No, man, that's why we have these separate equal branches of government. That's why we have representative democracy. That's why we need people to show up and be engaged, because if you don't, Colton Moore is going to be your state senator.
Dominic, I heard some of the best talk radio I've ever heard last night on this very station. It was Maggie Dawn. She was kicking ass and taking names. You're going to want to stick around. Maggie Dawn is putting out some damn fine radio. I'm just telling you, some of you can't handle the truth she's laying down. Maggie Dawn will be next. It's Tuesday night. That means educated educators talking education. Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci doing the busted pencil thing. And then Rick Smith nationwide, 8 to 10 p.m. And don't forget our friend Robert Pilot and his team. Well, they do the Native Roots Radio. I'm awake at 10 o'clock at night right here on WMDX. Great to see you, Nate. Thanks for your help. We'll do it all tomorrow when Bill Press will be our fine guest. Right here on the radio. Keep it locked.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm